Dear listeners, as we all know, there are a variety of many different opinions regarding the rapture of the church. Today, we will put some of the most frequently asked questions to evangelist and prophecy teacher Joseph Bonfort. Brother Joseph, as a first question I would like to ask you, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 that God has not appointed us unto wrath. Does that mean that the church won't have to go through the great tribulation?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your question. Yes, there are many opinions. So, no, the church will not have to go through the wrath of God. The church will not have to go through the tribulation of God. But you see, something that we need to understand is that the tribulation is not the wrath of God. It is the wrath of the devil against the church. It is the devil that unleashes the great tribulation, trying to destroy the church, understand? So while the church will not have to go through the great tribulation of God and the wrath of God, yes, you'll have to go through the wrath and the tribulation of Satan. You see, we read in Revelation 12, verse, start from 9, it says, the great dragon, that's the devil, was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We are in Revelation 12, 9. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has only a short time. See, the devil, by then, he will know he only has 42 months. Understand? So this is the wrath of the devil. You see, and then as you continue reading, you see in verse 14, and to the woman, that's the church, were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. This is 3.5 years, as we see in verse 6 of the same chapter. It says 1,260 days. So the great tribulation, therefore, is the wrath of the devil and is not the wrath of God. You see, the wrath of God is actually after the wrath of the devil. The tribulation of God against the Antichrist is after the tribulation of the devil. That is after the rapture. See, there are 7 years of covenant. In the middle is broken. We studied already in another teaching. And then the second part of the 7 years, 3.5 years, is the great tribulation. At the end, there is the rapture. And after the rapture, there is the wrath of God. God would not pour down his wrath when the church is there, but after the rapture. See, we can see here, let's go to Revelation chapter 15, 1 and 2, and chapter 16, 1 and 2. 15, 1 and 2, it says, I saw a sign in heaven, a great marvel of 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Here is the wrath of God, after the tribulations, after the rapture. How do we know? Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that got the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. If these people have the harps of God, they are in heaven. If they got the victory over the beast, over the mark of the beast, and the dragon and everything, that can only be after the tribulation. You cannot get the victory before the battle. You cannot get the victory in the middle of the battle. You can still give up before the end. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he that endures until the end shall be saved. So you have to endure until the end to get your crown, to get the victory. So therefore, this is happening after the great tribulation. This is when God's wrath is poured out. We can see also in Revelation 16, 1 and 2, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. Do you understand? So this happens exactly. It's the wrath of God, the tribulation of God against the devil and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast people, okay, after the church had the victory over the Antichrist and against the devil and against the mark of the beast. And so, in fact, as you read the Revelation 15 and 16, okay, these are the seven vials of the wrath of God. The wrath starts in Revelation 15 and it ends in Revelation 19. Because you see that Revelation 16 at the end, the seventh angel, verse 17, Revelation 16, 17, the seventh angel pours his vial into the air. And when the seventh angel pours the seventh vial into the air, there comes the next chapter, 17, 18, and 19. 17 and 18 are the destruction of Babylon, is the center of world materialism, is a great nation gets destroyed. And Revelation 19 is Armageddon. All part of the seventh angel who pours the seventh vial, where it is fulfilled, the final wrath of God, fulfilled in Revelation 20. Revelation 19, verse 20, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown to the lake of fire, and Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3, where the devil is bound in the bottomless pit. Is it clear? Praise God.
Brother Joseph, in the same chapter in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, it says, "The Lord comes as a thief, so we are not supposed to know when Jesus returns." And also Matthew 24, it says the same thing, that you don't know what hour your Lord comes, from verse 36 to 51. It says, "Of that day knows no man. As the days of Noah were, they didn't know until the flood. They took them all away. Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord comes."
Amen. Watch therefore. Here is the key. You need to watch, because you don't know what hour your Lord comes. Well, 2,000 years ago, they didn't know. And even today, we don't know the hour. Okay, but we have an idea. For example, we already know we are in the end time. And as we approach the time when we need to know, we will know. For example, okay, you were saying Matthew 24, 36 to 51, it says that as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. Well, that's very clear. Jesus comparing his return to the days of Noah. Well, in the days of Noah, who didn't know? The wicked, the unbeliever, they were flushed away in the flood. But as in the days of Noah means that the church will know as Noah knew. Noah knew. In Genesis 6:3, God tells Noah, "There shall be 120 years, and then the flood comes." So Jesus says, as in the days of Noah were, that means that the unbelievers didn't know. But Noah knew. Was 120 years. So when the time comes, we will know like Noah knew. I believe we'll be able to count the days, in fact. I believe we will know exactly when Jesus comes back, at least 7 years before. When the seven-year covenant is signed, we will know that after 3.5 years, there'll be the Great Tribulation. After 7 years, there'll be the rapture. So I tell you, you'll be counting the days. Well, that's why God in Revelation 2:12, verse 6 and Revelation 13, 5 and Revelation 11, 2 and 3, he gives the number of the months and the number of the days, because I tell you, it's going to be so bad, we'll be counting the days. So we don't have to worry about these things. In fact, look, it's only the people who will be unwatching, will be unfaithful, will be caught up and surprised. But if we will be watching, we will know. Like in Psalm 25, 14, it says, God reveals his secrets to his people. Amos 3, 7, it says, the Most High God doesn't do anything except he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophet. Yeah, let me open to Daniel 12, verse 4. Important scripture about the end time, verse 4. Daniel 12, 4, it says, "You, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." In other words, don't reveal the secrets. Even he didn't know. "Even to the time of the end." In other words, at the time of the end, it shall be opened, the secrets. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." All right? So we see also verse 10. Daniel 12, 10, "Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So the wicked who don't believe in the Bible will not understand, but the wise, who are the wise? The people who believe in Jesus, who have the Holy Spirit, who follow Jesus, who obey the Lord. But even the Christians who have the Holy Spirit, they are disobedient, they're not wise. They may be surprised, together with the unbelievers. See, in fact, if we are unwatchful And if we are sleeping spiritually, we will also be caught by surprise and suffer with the unbelievers. That's what it says in Luke 21. Go to Luke 21, 34 to 36. So what it says. It says, take heed, lest your hearts be weighed down with the cares of this life. And that day comes upon you unexpectedly. It will come as a snare on all that dwell on the face of the earth. Jesus speaking. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. In other words, if you are worthy, you will escape these things. If you watch, you will escape. If you don't watch, you will not escape. And you will share the together with the unbeliever. Like it says in Revelation 18:4. It says, yeah, let me go to Revelation 18:4. It's a very important scripture. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. God is telling his people, say, come out, my people, otherwise you are going to receive their plagues, the punishment intended for the unbelievers. Praise God.
What about in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the Lord comes as a thief?
Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, well, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, too many people use the scriptures. It says, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So that's what people think, that they're not going to know when he comes. But if you read the whole chapter, you see that it's not like that. Why? Because if you just keep reading, you'd be surprised what you find in the Bible if you just keep reading. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's what Jesus kept saying. Be watchful. Keep watching. Beware, Revelation 3:11, that nobody steals your crown. If we are unwatchful, if we don't watch, then yes, if we are sleeping in the spirit, for example, if we sleep in the materialism of this world, I want a better house, a better car, a better salary, better politics, this and that, the cares of life, you know, yeah, too. It's like this world has not the answer. The politics will never do what only Jesus and the Holy Spirit can do. So we need to watch, be ready, exercise ourselves to discern God's voice, to obey. We can have the Holy Spirit, we can be saved, but if we don't obey, we can still be disobedient. All right, we need to obey in Jesus' name.
I have a question. You read in Luke 21, watch ye therefore that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. So if I watch, I will escape the great tribulation, I won't go through it?
Yes, if you watch, the Lord will tell you what to do, when to go. You see Revelation 12, 14, and to the woman were given the wings of an eagle that she fled into the wilderness where she's fed 3.5 years. Why fed? Because in those days of tribulation, you cannot buy food. They'd be the mark of the beast. You cannot buy or sell. So if you watch, you need to learn to discern, to hear God's voice, and you need to learn to obey. Make sure you belong to a good church, a church where they hear God's voice, a church where there are prophets, where there are pastors who really preach the word, and not just ceremonies or traditions, or a church where really on the pulpit is the word of God and not a man. Okay, make sure that you are trained and you are taught in a church to really follow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And then you will learn to discern God's voice. And then you will know what to do. And then you will not caught by surprise like those people that Jesus was speaking in Matthew 24 from verse 15 until 22. He was talking about people who were just caught by surprise. All right. Amen.
In Revelation 3:10, it says that I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. This kind of looks like we will not go through the Great Tribulation. Can you explain the scripture, please?
Many people believe that because it's, yeah, I heard this, Revelation 3:10, I will keep you from the hour of trial. But you see, if you interpret like this, that Jesus is going to keep you from the hour of trial, and then you say, okay, then he's going to keep me from the Great Tribulation. You see, you're not reading the Bible right, because this is only half a scripture. Look, let's read the whole scripture, okay? Revelation 3, from 7 to 13. Okay, real quick. What does it say? I know your works, it says, because you kept my word I also will keep you in the hour of trials because you keep his word. You understand? It's not like salvation for free, you know. Here you have to work. You have to obey Jesus. So, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, Jesus is speaking, to test those who dwell on the earth. Jesus is going to test everybody in the world. This promise, all right, in Revelation chapter 3, is clearly conditional and requires also our works of faithfulness and obedience. The same conditional principle we find, for example, Revelation 2, verse 10. What does it say? Let's go to Revelation 2, 10. The devil will throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So, as you see, let's not mistake God's protection and God's blessing and the crown which the faithful will have in heaven with salvation. Salvation is paid 100% on the Calvary. Protections, blessing, crowns is by works in Christ. We have to work in Christ. He will gives us the power. Jesus gives us the power by the grace, his grace. But if we don't obey, grace alone doesn't work. Look, like it says in, you want to go with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Actually, 2 Corinthians. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. All right? So we can receive the grace in vain if we don't obey. Amen? Thank you, Lord.
I have another question. People talk about secret rapture before the Great Tribulation. Is there such a secret rapture?
Yeah, you hear about people thinking we'll be raptured secretly. Well, let me say this. We read in Matthew 24, 29 to 30, it says, immediately after the tribulation, then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds of heaven. So this shall see is, it doesn't seem very secret to me. The same in Revelation 1:7. It says, he, Jesus, is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. So the rapture cannot be secret if every eye will see him. Every tribes in the earth, all the tribes of the earth will know and mourn. So they know that Jesus is returning. So this opinion is therefore unscriptural. It cannot be secret. See, in Matthew 24, 15, 16, and 21, right at the beginning of the tribulation, Jesus tells us, flee to the mountain. But why should the church flee to the mountain at the beginning of the tribulations? If at the beginning of the tribulations, where the rapture takes place, that's when there is a secret rapture, and that's when the church has been raptured. So it is, all these opinions are not scriptural. Amen?
Brother Joseph, God is love, right? And thinking of that God is love, I mean, some people, many people wonder that because he's love, he will not let us go through the tribulation of the Antichrist. What do you think about this?
God is love. I will not argue with that. But see, we cannot misuse. God is testing us, okay? Would God abandon his sheep? Okay, God is love, but so why didn't God save Jesus from the Gethsemane? God is love, so why didn't he save Jesus from the cross? God is love, so why didn't he save millions of Christians for 300 years of Roman persecution? God is love, why didn't he save the Christian killed by the communists, by the Nazis, by the fascists, by killed today? There have been persecution in India, killed Christians, burned alive in the churches in India, in Sudan. God is love, so why doesn't he save the Christian in China? Love, it doesn't mean that God is going to send an armchair so you can sleep. It's like, hey, it's by the blood of the Lamb that we need to wash our clothes. It's a special detergent. It's like, how do we use that kind of detergent? The blood of the Lamb, if you get on your knees and really cry up to Jesus, you receive his power. So God will not abandon his sheep. God loves also his children who will go through the great tribulations. Jesus would not desert them. And Jesus, it's us. We are his body. Jesus would not rapture and take away all the experienced and trained pastors and evangelists, all those leaders, all the prophets when they when they're going to be the mostly needed during the Great Tribulations. Jesus, in fact, he taught just the opposite. Look, if you go to John 10, 11 to 16, there's a whole message from Jesus. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Understand? Jesus said that it is the mercenary who, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. In other words, like be raptured before the tribulations. But, the wolf, of course, the wolf is the Antichrist and the tribulation, right? So Jesus continues, says, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. So who's the wolf? That's Antichrist. That's a great tribulation. Is that the time to run away in front of the Antichrist and the great tribulation, leave the sheep? The mercenary flees because he's a mercenary and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I lay down my life for the sheep. So it doesn't seem to me that it's a good time to go to heaven when there is a battle in front of us, when all the soldiers are going to be needed. There are 3.5 years of suffering, of dying for Jesus, of showing our faith, of washing our clothes in the blood of the Lamb. Is that time to run away to heaven? I think that would be cowardice. I think that would be deserting the battlefield. Jesus, too, he also went through his tribulations. He went all the way to Calvary. Jesus wanted to be spared from it in the Gethsemane. And when he was raptured, quotes, on the Ascension Day, a form of a rapture, on the Mount of Olives, it was only after he victoriously had gone through his tribulation and he never deserted the sheep. Amen? So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I think I have answered like most of the most common, popular questions that people have. I will not take any more questions for now because I don't want to make this too long. Look, let me just close with a message of victory. Can I? Let me read from open Hebrews 11:32. Look what it says. What more shall I say? The time will fail me to tell of Gideon, or Barak, or Samson, or Jephthah. Also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdue kingdoms, work righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouth of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fly the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others are trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Amen. What about us? Are we going to run away? Are we going to pray God rapture us secretly? We don't want to suffer. How can we do that? And then in heaven drinking some beautiful heavenly drink or eating heavenly food, look down and see our brethren being killed and tortured and persecuted by the Antichrist. What kind of rejoice would that be? Hey, I'm happy I'm here in heaven. Oh, I made it down there. But then my brethren suffer and being persecuted without my help. I don't think that would be heaven for me. It's not my kind of heaven. I don't think it's going to happen. Look, Revelation 7, 9 to 17. He says, look and behold, a great multitude came out of the great tribulations and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb will shepherd them. Revelation 15, 2 to 4. And I saw those who have the victory over the beast and over his mark. Revelation 19, 7 to 9, the bride. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. How? By going through the great tribulation, by winning the devil. By running away? No, by standing. By being whisked up, flushed up, disappeared? No, he stayed there until she overcame the devil or died trying. Revelation 22, 16 and 17 and 20. I, Jesus speaking, I testify to you these things in the churches. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Even so, amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, there is a tribulation. I believe the tribulation coming. I believe it's nearing. I believe we're approaching. I believe we're getting there. All the signs of Matthew 24 fulfilled. If you read Matthew 24, Jesus gave up about 10 signs. They're all fulfilled. Jesus said, when you see the signs, it's like the leaves of a fig. When you see the leaves, it's approaching. I believe all these signs are all fulfilled except one, the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15. When you see that, that's the last one. Don't wait for that, because when the abomination of desolation appears, you don't have time to go home and pick up your jacket, Jesus said. You know what that means? You cannot pick up your baby. You cannot pick up your wife. You cannot pick up your passport. You cannot pick up nothing. You save your skin to a mountain. You're going to wait for that? Prepare today. Prepare now. Now is the time. Now is the time to grow in Jesus. Now is the time to receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit and give your heart to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, and give your money to Jesus, give your time to Jesus. Now is the time to grow, to become strong, to learn, to start washing our clothes, our selfishness, wash our pride, wash our disobedience, wash our laziness in the blood of the Lamb. Now is the time to prepare. Tomorrow may be too late. For many, tomorrow will be too late. The time Jesus is calling is now. Now is the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Will we hear his call? Jesus is calling. Are we listening? Jesus is calling. Are we obeying? Or are we saying tomorrow, tomorrow? Or are we letting the cares of this life distract us? The answer is up to us. In Jesus' name, amen.